It's like tricking you into like
staying
upright still.
Yeah. So like I need to.
I mean, you still gotta like look down a little bit to, you know, look at the levels or whatever, and then also like look at the book.
You don't know. You've never looked at the levels.
So, I don't know, man. you gotta maintain the levels.
Okay. Test.
Why can't this? Okay, got it. Dude, Winston's been doing this thing where he's like aiming for things now when he goes to pee. And like when he's he went up to this bush just now and he puts like his dick in the bush. It's like I don't think it's very safe. He's gonna get poked in the dick.
Dude, he's gonna get poison ivy on it.
Yeah, but it's really funny to watch.
Welcome, everybody, and I fucked up already.
This is why I do this.
Yeah. Welcome back
to another episode of the Trade Writers Podcast.
Our super famous podcast now. Super
famous because we have famous guests.
And higher production value with our new mic stands, so hopefully we won't sound as shitty.
Yeah, their microphone mounts. I don't think that actually does anything to the audio, but...
But we don't have to hold it up in like the varying, like... I can't... Hold the mic up.
My arm doesn't get fatigued.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic for posture.
Exactly.
Really excited about this.
Yeah. We've put about $30 in this podcast now. Okay. But welcome back to the Trade Writers Podcast, where we read a different trade paperback every week and discuss the nuances in writing and art in the book. My name's Nathan.
I'm Daniel.
And we're reading books today. But before we do, we're going to go over some quick news.
Ooh, news.
News. So I didn't really pay attention to news very much this week, but I do know that books are coming back. It's still mainly DC. There was supposed to be a lot of Marvel that was hitting shops today, but I guess depending on the shop, like it's Marvel books are going to come back next week or they came back this week.
I think all the independent stuff is back now,
yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah, I think so.
And then we'll basically... And everything's got new solicitations and release dates, so I guess that'll come later. But yeah, we should kind of be back to normal next week as far as the week-to-week stuff.
Yep, which will be interesting to see how I prioritize my time
right.
Between trades and normal books. But I was able to pick some up this week, which we'll talk about at the end.
Right. Yeah, it's the wrong segment.
Anyway. Yeah, wrong segment.
I had some news today. Netflix released the trailer for The Old Guard, which is
The Greg Rucka?
Greg Rucka image book. And I looked into it and I thought it was like a longer series, but it's just like a 5-issue miniseries. And then there's like a sequel series as well.
Really?
But yeah, it's getting a movie with Charlize Theron.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she's doing what she does, being a bad bitch in movies, and so it looks sick. I've never looked into it just because I guess like the name didn't strike me or anything, or the covers, but
I'm familiar with the cover of the book, but I don't know anything about it beyond that.
Yeah, just based off the trailer, it's just like this like tactical team or whatever, and they go do missions and they don't get hurt. Like, they can get shot, and then they just heal super fast, and it's like a team of that. It's like a team of Wolverines
and okay.
Deadpools.
And I guess it was good.
Yeah, it looks sick.
Cool. That's cool. I didn't know that. Other than that, I don't know if this really fits with us, but did you hear the Zack Snyder news?
Yeah, dude, who didn't?
Exactly. Yeah, Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League is going to be coming out, and people think that it's going to make that movie better.
Yeah, I just the fact that it exists is like what kind of shocked me the most.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, release the Snyder cut, and I guess he had a tweet or something, and apparently the final cut of Justice League is only about 25% of it was his, and then the rest was you know, what's his name?
Joss Whedon. Yeah, who did Avengers
right
initially, and it still came out to be kind of a jumbled mess. I still kind of like it, but it's not the best. It's an okay movie, which kind of makes it a shitty movie for it being a Justice League movie, because a Justice League movie should be awesome.
Right.
So I'll probably watch it, but not because I think it's going to be good. I just kind of want to see how different it is.
No, dude, I'll watch it like straight away, like as soon as it drops. Yeah. It's not till like next year.
2021, yeah.
Which kind of sucks. And I guess they're still putting like $30 million into it to be made or to be finished.
What?
Yeah, because he was off of it like halfway through production. So there's like right. more. He's got to do like his version of the special.
So are they doing like reshoots?
I don't think so.
It's just, I guess,
maybe, I don't know,
re-editing and effects and
yeah.
color palette and all that. That probably makes yeah, sense.
Yeah, I think they...
And then advertising.
So I guess I wouldn't do a ton for like... And then there's probably a ton of deleted scenes that were intended for the Snyder Cut. And then yeah. those don't have like the special effects with it. But...
That makes sense. And they could probably pull stuff from all the other movies like BVS if they need to, I imagine. Just if they need like extra scenes or whatever. Like, I'm sure there's stuff that was cut out of Batman v Superman and stuff that they might be able to use.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting that finally everybody nagged whoever to Warner Brothers to make a Snyder Cut, and now it's happening.
Yeah, I was talking to my buddy about that. Like, is that good that we're rewarding this kind of behavior?
Definitely not. There's going to be directorial cuts of everything.
I think it will be beneficial, though, that they are doing it, and I think they will make money off of it. But, you know, or maybe they just needed, like, a bunch of voices to bring it to light to the people who can make it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, that's all really I had.
Yeah, that's it.
For news. Hopefully we'll have more pretty soon as books start to come out. But yeah, that's news.
What book did we read this week, Nathan?
This week we read Kingdom Come, which is a book by Mark Waid and Alex Ross, which is kind of like a hard series to pitch, but... Or to kind of summarize, because there's a lot in it that's super dense, but essentially the idea is that the generation of superheroes that we're used to, including Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, and all that, have kind of stepped down in the wake of tragedy, because Superman left and secluded himself because of this tragedy, which allowed for a bunch of younger heroes to basically rise up, and they don't have the same... ideals of truth and justice and stuff that Superman has. And so they're superheroes, but they're sort of unethical and unchecked. And so that's causing a lot of problems until something happens where Superman comes back and he has to try and, or just those heroes come back and they have to try and make everything, I don't know, right again.
Yeah.
And it very much ends up becoming like a Superman story.
So first kind of thoughts on this. This book is beautiful.
Unbelievably just
gorgeous. If you've never seen Alex Ross's artwork before, just Google his name. It's unreal. He paints everything, which is... And I've seen his process. Every panel that you see is like a full, like...
It's unbelievable.
...canvas, and then they just shrink it down for the book.
Yeah.
And with how perfect and how, like, realistic all of his shit looks, this book must have taken forever, because it's like 200-plus pages of his artwork.
Yeah. It's actually 180 pages.
Right. And so
I just found out, but that's insane. Like the way that like this book definitely wouldn't be the same without Alex Ross.
Yeah. They're, this like, is like one of the very few, examples where like the artwork makes the comic better. Like art is super important in comics, but I don't think it makes the book. If it's a shitty story, but good artwork, it doesn't make it a good comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think, they're both sort of equally as important, at least for me. But sure. In this case, the artwork shines a lot more to sort of carry the book than the writing does. Because we end up finding out in this that there's not like actually like a whole lot of like fighting in action. There's a lot of like just people talking, and it's just gorgeous to look at. Most of consuming this book was me looking at just how insane the art is.
Yeah,
and he does not take any shortcuts either.
Absolutely not.
Because with a lot of books today, you'll find that just like random panels just have blank backgrounds because they want the focus to be on the characters.
Yeah,
that is not the case in this book. Like it's always just like a whole beautiful like mess of characters on a panel, and they're all just fully detailed, fully like lighted or litten.
Lit.
They're fully lit.
100% lit.
And yeah, just totally gorgeous.
With the artwork, I feel like it took like an hour to read each issue because I'm just looking at all the details and everything. It's incredible. My only like criticism, it's not even a criticism, it's just an observation, is that when there's these huge fight scenes or whatever where there's so much stuff going on, like it's because of the detail in the painting, I might not know what's going on, if that makes sense. Because I'm like, who the fuck is that? What's their body doing? Oh. You know what I mean?
Our new segment.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I'm like, who is that? And so I just can't like see what's going on. And then, you know, with the parts that are very small, it can be like hard to make out just because, you know, it's
painted. Say that, but I read this on my phone. You read it on a trade.
On paper, like the olden days.
On paper. Yeah. So I kind of agree with that. There's a lot going on with each page, and it's kind of hard to center the focus on what's going on. Sure. And since it's like painted, you know, the colors are a lot easier to like sort of blend into one another. And so you need to like spend a little bit more time looking at the book to really get the full story and acting out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's fucking insane.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
I didn't know about like Alex Ross's artwork is that he has like models.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
He has full-on Superman models, yeah, Wonder Woman models.
Yeah, he takes pictures of them, I guess, and then paints them later.
He's got a giant like studio too.
Yeah, he's got like friends, I guess, that look like Superman or something. I don't know. I just thought he just drew people and they looked real. But yeah. I guess that makes more sense.
Photo ref, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but, no, I just like,
but
just kind of just for explains it more.
For reference, this guy always has his own giant booth at San Diego Comic-Con.
They're like multi-level.
They're multi-level like booths of upstairs. Just Alex Ross. Like, there's the artist alley, and then there's like a whole section of just Alex Ross away from the artist alley because everybody knows who Alex Ross is.
Right.
He'll like oftentimes like do the promo art for like San Diego Comic-Con and shit, and that's all like blown up on like a giant wall and shit.
Yeah.
So he's pretty wild. He still does a little bit of cover work now. But
cover work, yeah.
He's basically done every single superhero. So if you have a favorite superhero, he's done Iron Fist. He's done like some sort of headshot or thing of Iron Fist. Just any character, really.
Marvel's is a really cool book, too. Mm-hmm. Which is basically like just the Marvel version of this book. Essentially, just, you know, everyone's in it, and it's Alex Ross artwork.
Yep. Marvel's was first, I found out, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then he actually had the idea for this book and was going to find a writer to do it, which I'll explain a little bit later. The one that I have downloaded is, like, the 20th anniversary edition, which I think is a little bit thicker than yours, and there's a bunch of extra trade stuff in the back. Does yours have, like, the character designs and stuff in the back?
Some of them. Let me just
there's like a bunch of like pencil drawings like and that? Shit. Yeah. Okay. I think we do have the same one then.
Okay, for sure. Mine didn't say like 20th anniversary anywhere, but.
Oh no, mine is a little bit different.
What's really cool is like since this is a future like book that's like everything's set in the future, he has these like double page spreads of just like a bunch of people just standing. And then since it's in the future, there's new characters that you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has like, you know, numbers next to each one of their names to be
at
like,
the back.
Or they're like, hey, this is who this is.
And I thought that was like really nice too, because there's a lot of new characters that Alex Ross solely designed. Like Mark Waid did not come up with the idea for any of these. Really?
Which brings back our famous segment. Oh, shit. You can edit that out, right?
No. Oh, boy.
We don't actually have to go through all these because there's like...
There's a lot of new characters that are exclusive
like
to this book.
There's like 90 or something. But just kind of my favorites. Dude, Captain Atom's in this.
He looks so much different.
He looks so fucking cool.
He does look great.
He's so sick.
That's a fellow Nathan right there.
Yeah, and then there's like...
there's a great Captain Atom book that I think we should read, by the way.
Okay.
Well, eventually.
We'll think about it.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, Mr. Miracle and Big Barda have a daughter in this continuity, and her name is Avia. Pretty anticlimactic. And then there's...
We never see Mr. Miracle in a suit. It's just scot-free.
Yeah. That's fine,
that's a criticism I have.
Then there's one other one that I thought was kind of cool. It was like Nightstar, and that's like Nightwing and Starfire's daughter.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, cool.
I didn't.
Easter egg.
I didn't know about that.
I'm like, I know exactly who this is.
Yeah, but each cover is like a different compilation of old and new heroes that are just side by side one another, and that's all you see. There's nothing in the background because there's no background to be seen.
Is it split up by like the teams or whatever?
It's, I don't know.
Like kind of. Anyway, should we talk about the book?
Yeah, let's do that. So we're going to jump into issue one. In general, we kind of did a different approach since this book is so dense. There's like 50 pages each issue or something. So we're kind of doing like a 5,000 foot view of it, which hopefully we'll cut it down, but I did end up taking a lot of notes.
One more thing just okay. to kind of before. So, it's called Kingdom Come, right? Mm-hmm. And there's actually a Jay-Z album called Kingdom Come as well. And I guess the concept of the album is like, you know, the old, experienced person that might be kind of seasoned or whatever comes down and shows all like the new people like how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool.
Which one was first?
Oh, the book.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the...
Is Jay-Z a fan of this book?
I guess so. He's got
it's gotta be, right?
It's gotta be. Definitely DC boy.
That's cool. I didn't
know that.
So yeah, we'll go ahead and jump into the story then.
Cool. So we'll never be able to really explain like how insane this book is and how it looks altogether, but we'll try.
It's gorgeous, so, and unlike anything else.
It's told through the point of view of this dude named Norman, who's like a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess his friend died, and there's some sort of like foreshadowing power is like passed on to him. He just like has visions of the future that are very vague.
Yeah.
And then a character called Spectre,
yep,
like comes, like approaches him and I guess says like, oh, let me show you the shit that's about to go down, you need to help me.
Yeah. So the general take is that Norman McKay is the pastor, but he's helping this guy named Wesley who's a little bit crazy, and he ends up dying, whatever, but finds out that his crazy visions that he was having was passed on to him. And the Spectre is like the spirit character that I think has been around DC before this, I want to say, but
I think so.
Norman's kind of acting as like the anchor for the readers, and we're kind of like experiencing this new world with him. He's been living in the world, so all the like new heroes and stuff he's used to, but he's like the reason behind us seeing all these different scenes and stories, because he, along with the spirit, are like witnessing all these different things happen.
Yeah,
they're like on like their own spiritual realm.
Basically. Yeah, like Spectre's like an angel in Norman's eyes.
Yep.
So that's kind of how it moves forward.
Yep.
So it's a new age of metahumans. It's, I guess, like 50 years in the future or something like that.
Before that happens, there's a couple of things I want to point out before he meets the Spectre.
Okay.
After Wesley dies, there's like a funeral or whatever. And he's, after that, Norman's kind of like walking around this world that he's in. And there's like new generation heroes fighting in a battle with a lot of like destruction and stuff going on. And Norman has this like really good like summarizing like captions that are going on the whole time that are basically like he's telling us kind of like what we think or like how he thinks all of this is like not how it should be. So when there's like a bunch of new heroes causing a lot of destruction, he's like questioning if these are actually like the protectors, because they don't really have like a whole lot of empathy for human life. So there's a bit of that going on. And then you also notice that when he's doing his pastor stuff or holding mass, whatever you want to call it. What is that called?
Service.
Mass. Service. Yeah, yeah, sure. There's not a whole lot of people in the church, but he's like, he starts saying like Wesley's vision. And then after he like kind of scares people off, then the Spectre shows up. I don't know how important any of that was now that I've said it.
But no, it makes sense because that's like what the overarching like problem is, mm-hmm. is that these new heroes are very reckless in how they do things and they don't really care for human life. So if they need to blow up a building or something or punch a dude into a building that are full of people, they don't really care.
Yeah, they just want to... They are almost like doing it for sport, really, and not for like the noble aspect of it.
Yeah.
And so him and Norman and Spectre go on this journey where they are visiting all the different heroes, and they're trying to figure out what these visions and nightmares that Norman's having, like what they actually mean.
Okay.
Which leads them to their first stop, which is they find Superman, who is completely secluded in his like farmland area. Which we find out is actually like a simulation type deal, but Superman's clearly been on his own for a while because he's got a sweet beard, which I'm sad that they got rid of.
Yeah. Sweet beard, ponytail, some gray.
He's only wearing overalls. So he's got like sweet shadows overall, drip going on. And then Wonder Woman meets him there and they sort of like start talking, essentially about Wonder Woman's trying to convince him to come back to Earth because there's stuff that's going on. Or no, they're on Earth, but she's trying to convince him to come out of hiding, basically. And to see the news on Magog is the guy. And the new heroes are fighting a villain. On the news, Magog and this group of heroes are fighting a villain called Parasite. And in that, Captain Atom is there and he sort of gets like split open by this villain Parasite, causing like a radioactive energy over the entire state of Kansas and more, which like completely wipes them out.
Right. He's like full of like nuclear energy or something. And
yeah, Captain Atom can like absorb it. That.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so like what the issue was is that, Parasite's like was trying to surrender, but like Magog has been like, no surrender kind of thing, and so that's, and then they still pursue him and he's protecting himself, causing that explosion.
Yep. So basically the whole event shouldn't have happened, because if they just took him prisoner then it wouldn't have escalated to that point.
Right.
So now all of Kansas is gone. Is there a significance to Kansas that you know of, or did they just like pick a state, you think?
That's where Superman's from.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I figured.
That's where you know, Smallville, Kansas.
Which, by the way, Superman's parents are gone, and there's no Lois Lane.
No, Lois Lane died.
Yeah.
Lois Lane and his parents died.
At this point, we don't know how.
And that's why, and like, when Wonder Woman goes to find Superman, he, like, makes her call him Cal, because I guess he just doesn't identify with his human
He doesn't go as Clark anymore. He calls a bunch of people, like, humans instead of, like, people.
Yeah,
as like an alien kind of would. So there's a lot of like really clever writing in that sense.
Yeah. So then we jump to this other scene that's like on a bridge, and his people, and it's just like all these new heroes fighting new villains. You don't really know who's who.
Yeah.
But there's fighting, and somewhere like on a cable car that I guess it goes across the bridge. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But there's people in it, and then there's all this firepower that's going towards the cable car, and obviously makes the
railing or the wires,
collapse, and then out of nowhere, Superman comes, grabs the cable car, and then some of the villains saves the day, and then he's back.
He's back. Yeah, he's in a Superman suit, so I guess. Hearing about the Kansas stuff.
He had time to get a shave and a haircut.
And, yeah, I know. He's shaved. I wanted him to have...
Super shave.
Yeah. Does he have his own razor? Does he do it himself? Does he use like his fingernails?
I don't think his hair is like indestructible.
But how does he shave it? Because he can't go to Walmart and buy a super shaver.
I don't think his hair is like impenetrable.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
So you think he can just go get a Gillette?
Yeah, and then, just try to get some scissors and like a...
Yeah,
decent maybe. Safety razor.
I guess I never thought of that.
I don't think it matters.
I think it does.
But since he does everything fast, he can just do that fast. Yep.
And then also in the book, we find out that it's not just Superman that's kind of gone on their own. We see the Flash is still protecting Keystone. Pop quiz, who's that Flash?
Jay Garrick?
It's not. I thought it was Jay Garrick, but it's not.
Turns out. Wait, is it Bart Allen?
Nope. Not Bart.
It's not Wally, is it?
It's Wally.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't figure that out. But yeah, Wally,
a lot of these decisions are just like made and like, I'd be like, well, what about, because like it's not in continuity.
No.
So just they can pick whoever they want.
They're just kind of picking one and seeing like who fits best in the story. So
like, who's the Green Lantern in this?
It's Alan Scott. So that's the original Green Lantern.
That's dope.
Yeah. And so Green Lantern's out in space with his own like Emerald City. There is another one, which I'll explain.
Yeah. Emerald City is like, he just has a city in the sky.
Yep. With his like
in space
with his light construct from his ring, which I found out at the end of the book, and I have to explain it now because it's really fucking cool. Normally, Green Lanterns have a power battery, which like charges up their rings because their rings go out of.
Is that the OG lantern?
It's like no. They have the power battery is what connects them to the OG lantern that they get their power from.
Okay.
So basically, their lantern connects with that, but they charge up their rings using the lantern. But in this case, Alan Scott, it makes sense, dude.
So the lantern's like a...
It's like a receiver.
Like a battery pack?
No, because that doesn't run out of power. The ring is kind of like the thing that needs to get charged. And like, we'll say that, I guess the outlet...
So the ring's like my phone, and then the lantern's like an outlet?
The lantern's like an
charger,
outlet.
And then the OG lantern's like an outlet.
I would say the OG lantern's like the thing that generates all the power, whatever that is in real life.
Transformer?
Sure. No, the Transformer is when like it like crashes. But whatever is generating power is like the thing on Oa, which is where all the Green Lanterns are. I don't want to get into it. But basically, yeah. So the lantern is like the thing that charges the battery. But in this case, he's sort of like formed his battery into his armor.
Yeah, see, I thought... But I read that as, so I forgot about the middleman, the middle lantern that everyone has, the power bank or whatever. And I thought he like absorbed like the OG lantern. I'm like, holy fuck.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. His like power batteries,
that's pretty,
or his
dope,
lantern
though,
is just like his armor, and it looks great. And he always has like the sweet sword.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with how Green Lantern is super portrayed
sick
in this. Other than that though,
do you want to mention the girl one?
Hawkman's there.
Or like,
yeah, so there's another, the younger generation Green Lantern in this book is called Jade, who's the daughter of Alan Scott, basically.
Oh, boring.
Yeah, that's all it is. But she was the Green Lantern right after Kyle Rayner, who was the Lantern after Hal Jordan.
Ah, so why is Alan Scott still around? Did he die or something?
Alan Scott is technically an Earth 2 person. He was the original Green Lantern, but when they rebooted everything after Crisis, it was Hal.
Okay, for sure.
It was Hal Jordan, who everybody
questioning
it. Yeah. Thanks for all the questions, though. I'm glad I knew all of them.
Yeah, she looks kind of cool. Like, she's like pale, and she's just got like a big.
She's got green
logo
skin. Yeah.
And it looks like she's just wearing a big T-shirt. Then she's about to go to bed.
it does,
but
yeah,
it's pretty cool. Anyway.
And then Batman is still protecting his own in Gotham with
like, everyone basically goes to like their home court and like just chills there.
And I want to point out a specific thing with Batman's end of things is that he has these like robo bat mech things that are still protecting the city. It's not actually Batman,
right?
Which Bruce Wayne has like this exoskeleton suit, or like it's like an exoskeleton like when he's like out of the bat suit, that helps him like move around, I assume,
because yeah,
I'm sure all that takes a toll on you. But the robo bats have,
that dude's got arthritis for days.
Absolutely. He does. Yeah. And so that's kind of a cool thing that they never explain, but you can like assume that that's what it is,
that he gets arthritis.
Like, basically, yeah.
That's not comics. It's boring.
Yeah, but the robo bats themselves have like the bat signal on their chests, and they use that to like put a spotlight on the bad guys.
Yeah.
And so when there's like a bad guy, the bat signal like shines on them to point him out, and then a bunch of other robo bats come. I thought that was really creative.
It's a pretty cool system for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, that's issue one. So moving on to issue two.
I feel like we summarized that pretty well, but that was also like 50 pages.
Yeah, that was 50 pages. So when we ended issue one, Superman's there, right?
He's and back.
He wiped up all the bad guys. So it opens with like, this one opens with like a different setting, and it's a bunch of heroes wrecking stuff on Ellis Island. And there's this new hero called the AmeriCommando.
Yeah, it's a great name.
And he doesn't like immigrants or anything, expecting America to be like their sanctuary.
I don't know if he's like Like, well,
he seems pretty racist.
He's like stopping them from coming because there's no room.
Yeah.
He basically just looks like a really douchey Captain America, and it looks really cool, honestly.
It does look really cool.
Maybe I'm just douchey.
He's like fascist.
Yeah.
Is that the word? What's the one where nationalist?
That's probably better. Okay, fascism, yeah. I think, is like more like Nazi.
Okay, I think you're right. But he's nationalist, so he doesn't want anybody like any immigrants or whatever coming. So obviously he's not a very good guy.
Right.
But that whole situation gets stopped by all the OG heroes, so you kind of see that they're back along with Superman.
It's like just like the Justice League. It's not like everyone.
Yeah, it's Superman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Hawkman, Supergirl, The Flash, The Ray, and Robin is there as well.
Yeah, and Dick Grayson is Robin.
Correct.
But he's got like the red Robin costume.
Suit, yeah.
Which is not my favorite one, but
it looks weird. The cowl just doesn't work for me. But after that, they go to the UN building, and reporters like question them and stuff.
The Justice League are just like, all right, we're going to fix stuff.
Yep, basically. And then, they're like, we're back.
Yep, and that's basically all that happens in that scene.
Yep.
And then Supes goes to the Batcave, tries to get Batman to join.
In that scene, Batman sort of explains the reasoning behind
them. This is a loaded scene for sure.
This is, yeah. He kind of explains why there's a new like metahuman generation. And he kind of like says that like ordinary people view bats and Superman as like too gentle and to face like 21st century issues. And so they wanted heroes that are stronger and ruthless. But then that ended up turning into just unethical heroes, which is the situation that they're in now.
What was kind of cool, like a wrinkle to Batman's story right now, is that I guess his identity got out. And like Bane and Two-Face like fucked up Wayne Manor, and then the Batcave is like flooded, but he like I guess like the upper levels are he can still work in, and
So Wayne Manor is all just wrecked,
which is cool.
It is cool, yeah, good for him.
Things went to shit. We're like, oh, that's cool.
And so Superman ends up kind of going and trying to keep the peace as much as he can. He ends up like recruiting some of the new gen heroes that want to follow along with his like truth and justice and not being the prosecutor and all these situations, whatever, Superman
stuff. There's like a bar where like the villains and the heroes just like hang out.
Which is awesome.
And it's like underground. And yeah. And then Superman lasers like all the booze on the wall. That's rude.
That is rude. That's someone's place of business.
I know.
Then you see Lex Luthor plays a part in all this. He has a team of like businessmen or whatever that are worried about Superman, but it turns out that they have a plan to fight him, which is like a grown up version of Shazam.
Yeah, like all these like old heroes are meeting in this like conference room. Like a business. It's super boring.
Are those heroes or are they just like businessmen?
No, they're like villains. Like one old is villains. Like one is like the son of Ra's al Ghul. Catwoman's there. Riddler's there.
Okay, I didn't catch that.
Some king or something.
They don't really like focus on them, which makes sense because there's a lot of characters.
It doesn't matter, but I'm just like, ooh.
But the shocking part of this is that they have Shazam on their side.
Yeah.
Which is normally Billy Batson. But now that he's grown up, he just looks like Shazam all the time.
Yeah.
Which so I think is kind of fun.
He just goes from like normal guy to Shazam in the costume.
Mm-hmm.
So hold on. I feel like we've skipped some things. So Batman has this like network of like other heroes that like don't have powers or just some of the other older heroes. Shazam is like his Lex Luthor's bitch boy because he makes him like shave his face while they're in the meeting, which is kind of odd to me.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I guess Wonder Woman has like a plan to.
I don't see that happen.
Wonder Woman has. Wait. Ooh. Easter egg? Wait, maybe. Maybe that comes later.
It might come later.
Okay. I think that's just something I remember.
Also, Lex Luthor's like fat.
Yeah, Lex Luthor looks like Kingpin.
There's a dude right next to him, which I think makes more sense to look like Lex Luthor because it's just like a skinny bald guy who kind of looks like Grant Morrison. I don't know if you know what Grant Morrison looks like, but that looks like him.
Skinny
but yeah, Lex Luthor's pretty fat. I think that's funny.
Yeah, no, look, see, he's shaving him. He's got the red suit on And then he's shaving Lex Luthor, and then it pans up to his face.
I thought you meant Shazam was getting shaved.
Pay attention. This is our job.
this is how we make money.
Yeah, and I guess Wonder Woman has like a plan to like imprison those who like oppose the Justice League. I keep putting JL.
Right.
They ask, I don't know, if it's actually more, so I'm just moving forward, actually.
So
they ask Aquaman to like use Atlantis as like the prison.
Yeah.
Which is a cool idea.
Which is. But, you know, Aquaman has a very good point to all this where he's like, bitch, I have like 70% of the earth to do that has like a bunch of other issues.
I don't have problem.
You guys are just like,
I don't have time for your shit.
You guys are just trying to figure out United States, but I have like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Underwater. So I'm like, that makes sense. But also, you should be able to have some room. I don't know.
And then the Justice League finds Magog, which is like the leader of the new metahumans.
Yeah.
And he's in Kansas. He's like basically trying to like rebuild, I guess, really mm-hmm. slowly. It's pretty pathetic. And then it's revealed that Magog killed Joker because the Joker went to the Daily Planet and massacred like, I don't know, it was like 90 people,
including Lois men. Lane.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it's not strictly said because he's like, he killed 92 men and then Superman's like, and one woman. And you're like,
meaning Lois Lane.
Lois!
I'm like, no! And then that's why Superman ran after the trial. That's the trial that made him like leave or whatever.
Yeah, because
Magog kills him instantly like before he faces trial.
Well, no, Superman like puts him on trial and then Magog is like acquitted, so he's not like found guilty of anything.
Right.
And then like the general population polls in favor of Magog.
From like these
it's like
polls
77% of people agree with Magog for killing the Joker, which uh-huh. makes sense, but I think with that that's not part of like Superman's deal, and so he's just like clearly this world's like not for me anymore. So but I also want to point out in the court scene, which is like a panel, Superman has like this sweet ponytail.
Oh yeah,
did you see that?
When he started growing it out.
Yeah.
He's already getting that going.
I think he should have it back.
I disagree.
It's like a ponytail that goes to like his shoulders. It's not even like anything impressive.
Yeah. It's more of like a Jedi braid than anything. But
definitely not.
So I guess Superman goes to what's it called? Apocalypse, which is like the
before that though.
Ah.
Magog is like explaining this to all of them, and they basically like want to have like a 1v1 basically in Kansas after he like explained all that to him. Yeah, he's like 1v1 me, bro. And so he wants to like become like the head honcho or whatever. But what's interesting is that he goes to fight Superman, and Superman doesn't throw a punch. He just like takes a punch from Magog from his like magic spear or whatever, and then Magog kind of like breaks down because he feels responsible for like a million people dying because that's kind of what like started everything.
Yeah.
So Magog is kind of, he has a lot of weight on him from everything that happened because he started all this.
I think that's the last time we see him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
So he's not a problem.
But yeah, so then Superman's still trying to find a place to put all the people that don't, all the supers that don't follow along with him.
So he consults Orion, which is the son of Darkseid. On the planet Apocalypse, where he's now the ruler now. I guess Darkseid
is not a thing right now.
Went somewhere.
It's not sad.
Went on vacation. Anyway.
I don't think he does that.
And then I can't remember what happens, but Orion basically says no, because they don't do that.
And then Orion says that he's down to have that. But then Superman's like, I don't actually want to imprison people on Apocalypse. He was just kind of like asking him for advice, I guess, which is kind of weird. But they say that in the book. He's like, I don't want people to come here. I was just hoping for some wisdom from a god.
Right. And then the end of the issue, it ends with Batman and like his crew actually joining Lex Luthor in that boring conference room.
Yep.
And I guess they're joining forces or whatever.
Yep.
Because they don't like Superman.
Well, I think this is a interesting perspective because all the heroes that are following with Batman are mortals. They're not like superpowered beings. And it's like a big point in this book to, especially as like Norman and stuff and Spectre, they're like in this book constantly. They're like in random panels and stuff. And you're like, oh shit, there they are. But yeah. The big theme of this book is that a lot of DC heroes are like gods. And it's like kind of what happens, like there are like gods and mortals and there's like a balance there. And so when Batman goes to partner with Lex Luthor, it's Batman who doesn't have any powers. Lex Luthor doesn't have any powers. Green Arrow is there. And like a couple other people that like don't have any powers. And I think that that's kind of like a cool thing. And you think that, you know, there's going to be a war between mortals and gods, basically. And that's right. What I took from that.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, I guess Batman also has like the children of like the old heroes. Correct. On his side as well. So I would like it to be, you know, the unpowered heroes versus like the gods, but yeah, you know, it's not all that.
That's a good point. But, that's like their strategy is that they're using the younger generation to fight the older generation. Cause that's like the only way that they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Like the younger generation, like, likes.
So it's how kind of like are. I guess a battle of like old morals versus what the new generation has. So yeah, that's issue two.
Okay. Issue three, Superman builds a jail. It's designed by Scott Free.
It looks like the
AK Mr. Miracle.
What is that place called? The Legion of Doom headquarters?
I don't know.
It looks like that.
I've never seen it, I don't think.
It looks just like that.
Okay. They call it the Gulag?
The Gulag? Just like Warzone?
Gulag, yeah.
Have you played Warzone?
No. I know what it is, though. I can, you're hip? I can like understand the memes.
Okay. Enough to know the memes. Okay.
Right.
I respect that.
Which means I'm hip.
So the idea behind it is that it's not supposed to be a prison. It's supposed to be like an open space for these people that don't agree with Superman's ideals, I guess. But for them to like live and learn and to like inspire ordinary citizens instead of like terrifying them. But also to not like act as judge and jury and to like adhere to the preservation of life and stuff. And that's like those are like the general things that Superman's trying to like teach them, but on their own. But they're also in prison. So it's like not really a good message.
It's like being in quarantine. It reminds me of the Simpsons movie where they have that dome over Springfield.
Dome. And so obviously having all these like bad guy heroes in one place is not going to go very well. There's a dude that starts to rebel. That's the dude in this book who has like nipple tattoos.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Who is that?
His name's 666.
Shut up. No, it's not.
Dude,
he looks metal.
Yeah, he's metal as shit.
He's got like a tattoo that swirls around his nipple that comes up from like his pelvis or something. It's so ridiculous. He's obviously a new hero.
That's 666. Okay. And what he's actually modeled after Brian Azzarello.
I could see that.
Which I don't see at all personally. I've seen him in person at Phoenix Comic Con.
Well, obviously
this is obviously 20 years ago.
Yeah, this book is older than I am.
Wait.
This was made in 96.
Ah, it's as old as me. That's cool. Okay. So all right, yeah, cuz he was like a grumpy old man with like a beard that I saw.
He is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially now that one of his he made the bat dick.
The bat dong.
Yeah, Lil Wayne. That's a story for a different time.
I don't know if we'll ever actually review that one.
We might. So
it's
anyway,
strictly because of the dick.
So basically there's a riot that's going on inside of the actual fortress thing. And then we jump back to Norman, who's still kind of out exploring with Spectre. They're out in space now and they're kind of attending a meeting with, or Spectre's brings them to like this meeting with like some galactic council. They don't really play a big part, but one of the guardians of the universe, like the Green Lantern ones, is there. Ganthet.
Yeah, there's like, I don't know.
There's a meeting of like cosmic people and they're like, should we do something about this?
And then they're like,
oh, I don't really know. But while that's happening, Norman meets Deadman.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Deadman's awesome.
He is. And he looks super different in this.
He's just like a skeleton that's floating around with the same like...
He looks like a Tim Burton character.
Yeah. I wish they would have just been the normal one.
I don't know if this is normal at the time. But the idea behind Deadman is that he's a dude named Boston who was like a daredevil kind of dude basically. And he dies. But now he's kind of like not in like hell or heaven or anything. He's just kind of in like this middle limbo space. But he's kind of like floating around.
Can normal people see him?
No. He can be seen if he wants to be seen.
Oh, right.
Okay. But Norman sees him and they kind of have a talk about like, is the Spectre really like have the best interests of everybody in mind?
Right.
So that was a cool scene. I just like seeing Deadman. So they really tried to put like every character in this.
Yeah, I think it was used well. Because then that's like something you don't think about because you just jump into like, oh yeah, Spectre, good. Yeah, and then
exactly.
That helps you kind of think about it.
And so then we kind of jump back to outside the Superman League of Metahumans or whatever. They used Green Lanterns. What is that space station called? Like the normal, like from the Justice League TV show? What's it called? It has like a name and I couldn't think of it. I'm going to look it up actually.
Okay. We jumped to some scene with Shazam and Lex Luthor. I have to wait?
Well, you don't have to wait for this, but you're skipping the whole scene with Superman and Wonder Woman.
That's not even a good scene.
It is a good scene.
Okay.
First off, why are they wearing oxygen masks?
I don't know. Maybe it's easier?
No. Well, Wonder Woman's... No, she has a whole fishbowl on her head. They're out in space. I don't think they need to breathe. Maybe Wonder Woman does, but Superman definitely doesn't.
Yeah, he flew here. Right, he's also in...
Anyway, space. They're sitting on the outside. Wonder Woman, I guess, was like exiled from Themyscira for whatever reason. And that's when they like talk about it. But also... they're kind of like hashing out the ideals that they both have, because Wonder Woman's kind of like not opposed to the new world, like kind of order of things. But Superman's still very much like, we don't kill anybody.
Right.
and so they talk about when it's right to use violence as a means of keeping the peace. And like, when is that necessary? And Superman says, like, given the powers that they have an obligation to like keep the peace.
Right.
And only the weak succumb to brutality is like a thing that he says. And I'm like, that's pretty dope. But Wonder Woman sees it the other way. So I thought that was a very important scene.
Yeah, it is. But I guess I didn't choose to include it because of like the overarching story. Just to kind of summarize it. It's just like that's where Wonder Woman is in this, you know?
Yeah.
So it goes to Billy Batson, a.k.a. Shazam, and Lex Luthor. And it turns out that he's being mind controlled by these little worms that go into his ear.
That's an actual like Shazam thing. I forget what that worm thing is. There's like
what's that?
There's like a whole species of them. It was at the end of the Shazam movie.
Savannah.
Savannah's the mad scientist, but I think he ends up turning into the worm or something at some point. I don't know what the continuity there is.
Pretty gross.
But it's just like a mind controlling, brainwashing worm, whatever. That's comics. Right. But you also find out that Batman's mech things are in production from like Luthor's people
being like mass produced,
and they talk about like getting the super like powered people out of the way so that mankind can like take back the power, which is when they show that they've recruited the youth, and then also Martian Manhunter's there, but he's kind of like psychologically fucked up in some way, so he's not his normal Martian Manhunter person.
Just gotta shoehorn some heroes in there.
And then Shazam's also walking around that underground bar or whatever, and everybody's like super scared of him, so everybody knows that he's basically like the head honcho.
Yeah, so that
which wait, comes into play later.
What that thing is?
No, I didn't. I,
dude, Jesus Christ,
I'm not connected to your internet, hold on.
So we have this, we go back to the Justice League, and they're in that thing that we're talking about. It's like the Justice League space station
watchtower.
That's
God, it. That was killing me. And so there's a new watchtower made by Green Lanterns powering.
And so, you know, Spectre and Norman are looking at them on this, like, I don't know, somehow in like this ghost.
They're on the
plane
like
or something to where no one can see them or whatever.
But they can, so they're on like a different plane of existence as everyone else.
But since the Flash is so fast, he can exist on multiple planes of existence.
And he is like constantly, apparently.
Right. And so, and then he pulls Norman out of that like spirit zone or whatever. And then like
into just the watchtower.
And then just as you're like, what the fuck? And
What the hell?
And then he's like questioned by like Superman and
yeah, so Norman's kind of freaked out. And he can't really say anything other than it's like, this is gonna sound weird, but and then he starts saying like Wesley's like nightmare words or whatever. There's like a bunch of like Bible verses and stuff that are in here that he keeps like
that are totally like
relevant. Resaying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally relevant to the story, and I'm sure that they connect really well. I'm just not smart enough to connect them. Mm-hmm. But basically, they then find out that there's a riot going on in the Gulag, and they're about to break out, is from what it sounds like, because they're like actually doing some damage to it. And so Superman's like, this is a lot of shit that's going on at once, and then Wonder Woman kind of like takes the authority and like tells other people to like go attack him.
Right.
And then they kiss.
Oh, Superman and Wonder Woman?
Yeah, there's like a kiss that happens that I guess is like supposed to be totally casual.
It's a pretty hot middle-aged kiss.
Yeah, so that was weird. I just had to point that out because I didn't understand it.
They've always had this like sexual tension with, you know, with everything, every medium.
Mm-hmm.
The shows is what I like remember from mostly. But and then it we go back to that meeting room, the conference room with like all the Batman Luthor people and all the Luthor people. And then it turns out that Bats didn't actually join Luthor. He was trying to figure out why Shazam was on Lex's side.
Mm-hmm.
And so they figure that out. And then they like take control of like all the villains.
Yeah. And they find out that the Gulag thing is happening. And so they're like, this is our point to strike. Mm-hmm. But then they kind of like stop that from happening because Batman punches Shazam, which normally wouldn't do anything. But he found out that he's not actually in his like Shazam form. He's in just Billy Batson form,
yeah,
which is why he's able to like punch him,
mm-hmm,
which is cool. Like a, that's like a cool,
you don't think show about don't, that.
Yeah. It's like a cool, like show don't tell kind of deal. He's like, oh yeah, shit, he's not actually Shazam.
Shazam will eventually be the same age as Billy Batson.
Yeah.
But then that's cool that cause I think about that, like Billy Batson will get like old and he can still like Shazam into exactly like younger Shazam.
Can we like, I think Shazam should be so much more prevalent in like the DC universe or just like comics in general.
I think there just needs to be like a definitive run maybe, or just more people consistently working on them. Cause there was a Jeff Johns run that was just the back pages of Justice League in the New 52.
Well, they printed it into a trade.
Oh yeah. There's that.
Yep. And it's a cool story, but I think they lean a little bit too much into like the God sort of background of him, which is a big part. But I really think that like Shazam could be like DC's Spider-Man.
Well, if they do him right. He has like a movie, so that helps. And then like he had like a TV show back in the day. You know what I mean? And so I think maybe at one point he was, where you didn't necessarily need that like elite storytelling to have really good comics. It was just cool.
Yeah. But I think they characterize him like pretty well, like how cool he like or how well he kind of fits in like the DC universe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, all the youngling people that they recruited to take out the older generation, they're also double-crossing on the same side with Batman.
Yeah.
So, they take out all the villains and stuff, but Lex Luthor escapes.
Yeah.
And then...
turns out that at the Gulag?
But before that, Shazam is running away from Batman, and Batman's trying to like talk him out of the brainwashing, but he gets scared and turns into Shazam and flies away to go to the Gulag.
Yeah, and so I guess at the Gulag, the prisoners kill Captain Comet. I don't know who that is, but apparently he's been in comics a long time.
When did that happen?
That is something that they're like.
Is it inside the Gulag, or is it?
Yeah, inside the Gulag. It's not like a scene. They just tell Superman about it, and then like gets Superman like pissed, and he like doesn't know what to do, and then like that's when like Wonder Woman's like suggesting war. Or whatever.
Okay.
And then Supes goes to Bats for help. And then Bats warns him about Shazam.
Yeah, basically. But when he goes to see Batman, I just want to point out, he leaves the Watchtower, flies to Earth, crashes a satellite in the process.
Yeah,
which is a cool scene, but that's millions of dollars easily. He could have avoided it, you know, gone on a little detour.
Yeah,
just but like then he flies through the Earth, like through like the core of the Earth, and flies up and meets Batman by crashing through the floor.
Wait, what? Where's that?
So it's this scene right here. Yeah, right there. So leaves Watchtower, crashes the satellite.
Through the core.
He goes through like the core of the Earth to go to the Batcave.
Yeah, and
he doesn't want to like fly
comes
around
up through the ground to the Batcave. That's so dumb.
It's so cool. But in that scene, I think there's also a really cool thing where Batman and Superman are kind of like talking / arguing about whether it's like a good thing that the heroes are fighting to kind of like clear out some of the heroes or whatever. But they kind of come to terms on like their golden rule that they've always had in common, where they don't kill anybody. They never want to see anybody die. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they kind of like have a coming together kind of moment. And then, yeah, Batman tells them about Shazam. And then Superman goes to the Gulag to try and like avoid all this stuff from happening. And then Shazam crashes open the gulag with his lightning and tackles Superman. And then Norman's like, the Armageddon has arrived or whatever, because he keeps talking about the Armageddon.
Yeah, and that's issue 3.
Yep. So going on to the last issue.
Big fight.
Yeah, everyone's punching for a bit.
There's this crazy double page spreads.
So many spreads, dude.
So many spreads.
They're all just gorgeous. Keep in mind, this whole time that we're reading this, we're just looking at everything.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that's kind of what. There's not like.
I'm like, who's that?
There's not
who's
like super dense. It takes. This book takes a while to get into, to get through, but not because there's super dense writing. It's just super dense art that you want to look at all of it.
Yeah. And it's. And, you know, Alex Ross is kind of showing how much shit he can fit into this double page spread, which and is, how many interactions he can have with both sides. And it's so fucking cool.
I was like thinking about it and I was like, if I was to even like attempt a double page spread like this, I wouldn't even know where I would start.
I'd start at the bottom probably.
Well, like, okay, so in this one in particular that we're both on, Superman and Shazam are punching. But then where do you go from there? Like, who do you start with next? And just like spacing all this out is just mind boggling. And he paints all of it.
Right. Yeah. I tried. When you look at his sketches, he sketches like the outline like perfectly, you know, mm-hmm. and then just paints over that to
yeah.
get the colors.
I tried painting a beach the other day along with Bob Ross. So it was like someone already did it. I was just trying to copy it. And it looks like shit.
I painted that mountain right there with Bob Ross.
This one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool. The water turned out like but shit.
Imagine but. How like difficult this was if you were trying to fit. There's at least 20 different heroes in here and there's space in between them.
And there's like highlights
and action and they're all like acting. Blending. Yeah, it's nuts.
And fire.
So we can't forget that. Also with the Norman and Spectre kind of duo, there's a cool effect going on where they're like kind of glowing white the whole time to kind of like let you know that they're on this like spiritual plane, which is why Norman's like super pale because he's kind of like acting as like a ghost. I don't know if you know.
Yeah,
he's got like a white glow.
It's kind of like it almost looks like a filter.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of goes hand in hand, which I think is a cool effect that works really well. And when he gets pulled out of that spectral plane or whatever you want to call it into
tanner.
The watchtower, he gets his tan back.
Yeah, I wasn't looking at this thinking like, damn, that dude's pale as fuck.
Yeah,
dude's pasty.
So yeah, everyone's punching for a bit. This is like the hour of judgment or whatever. But while all this is kind of going on, the UN is deciding to like drop a nuke on like the whole,
gulag.
Yeah. On the gulag area to try and like wipe out all the supers. Cause they're all together. Like all the bad guys were in the gulag and all the other like good guys were going to fight them and stop this war. So they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
So in the fight,
so bigger
like,
fight,
Norman's kind of like worried about the turning point, which will be like the first death, which will start like this forest fire of war is the idea. And especially with Supes tied up with Shazam, like there's not a whole lot of people to like stop that from happening. Then Batman's crew of younglings come in. They help to stem the loss of life and prevent it, but doesn't work out very well because Wonder Woman ends up killing this dude named Von Bock.
Oh, yeah, he's like a bad guy.
Yeah, so she like stabs him through the chest with like this sword.
Right
pretty
through
cool.
the cleavage right there.
Absolutely. It was
you know
like perfect.
How hard that is to get just to like define that area as a man.
Well, he's like shirtless, so I'm sure it's like a little bit easier to find from like the back. Because if he has like well-defined back muscles, just
I'm
like,
not saying she has good aim, but it just it hurts more.
Yeah. Yeah, that would hurt. Just like have your ribs split.
Because
that's
going straight through the sternum.
Yeah, your ribs are split.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's gross. So he's dead. And now like Batman and Wonder Woman are like fighting. Like they're like fighting like verbally and fighting physically and like talking about the ethics of fighting. But then they like kind of take the fight to the sky and they kind of like fly above the clouds. Batman's in his mech suit, in this like mech suit, by the way. So he's able to like fly around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And take punches.
But yeah, so they see
while they're above the clouds, they see the nukes that are coming towards them.
Yeah. It's these three like weird planes that hold them. And then,
so they're able to attack two of the three planes, but one of them still gets past and the nuke starts to drop.
Yeah. And then like while that was happening, Shazam is like fighting Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point where like Shazam just like says Shazam, but makes like the lightning bolt hit Superman, and it's really taking him out. He just keeps it.
Yeah,
he's button smashing Shazam.
Absolutely, it's like just in Mortal Kombat, you're Scorpion, and you're like, get over here, like this thing, just over and over again.
Yeah, and so, but you know, Shazam's like he just stays the same because the lightning's not hitting him.
Yeah,
and so,
so that's really taking a toll on Supes. But I guess one of the times, like he's like super beaten down, his like eyes are all red and stuff. But one of the times that he says Shazam, he manages to grab Billy and like pull him into the lightning, and then he turns back into Billy.
Yeah.
So he kind of like outsmarts him in that way.
Or it's William at this point. William Batson.
Do they ever call him William in this book?
I'm just being dumb because like, you know, Billy's like a kid's name and then William's his actual birth name.
I call him, he could be 80 and I'll call him Billy.
So the nuke drops, and then, like, I guess Superman doesn't think he can decide whether or not to stop the nuke because he can't choose between, like, superheroes and, like, mankind. And so he lets Shazam choose because he's both.
Yeah, he's, like, mortal and God at the same time.
And so Superman goes up to go and stop the nuke, but then Shazam, like, grabs his foot and, like, throws him down to the ground.
Yeah.
And
he's basically saying, like, you decide. You can stop me or... You know, if you don't want to stop me, then you're choosing superheroes.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
And so Shazam goes and like hugs the nuke, and then like yells Shazam, and then the lightning hits the nuke, and that explodes.
Mm-hmm. But
the nuke still kills everybody.
Yeah, there's still a giant explosion, and the aftermath is just Superman alone around a bunch of like skeletons and stuff.
Oh, dude,
you see like Hawkman as like a skeleton, so he's like definitely dead.
Oh, dude, wait, I didn't see that.
Yeah, you could see like his wing bones.
His wing bones.
Yeah.
Let me
we skipped through a lot. You gotta get
flip
that.
To that. Hold on.
So it's in that big spread right there.
Oh no.
Yeah, so he's dead as fuck.
And then there's like Blue Beetle, and that's shitty.
Yeah. Hold on,
let me get there. It is pretty cool. It's like everything's gray and like covered in ash and smoke. And
yeah, everything's like super.
Superman's like screaming towards it. Damn, this is a powerful panel.
Dude, it really is.
Like, I didn't even like.
Dude, you, like I looked at this so much.
This didn't hit me as much as it should have, but it is very powerful.
Yeah, there's like literally it's like the only thing of like color in this is Superman. Very small because he's far away, like right in the middle. And he's just like surrounded by just the aftermath of skeletons and all these people being vaporized. Yeah. So like all these heroes are like dead.
Super dead. Like, and then Supes goes ape shit and
gets kind of like angry, and he goes to like confront people at the UN.
Goes to the UN.
And so Norman and Spectre have like a bit of a moment where they're like talking, and they're like Norman Spectre's like, well, that's it. That's
judgment has been passed.
Yeah. And Norman's like, fuck you. He doesn't say fuck you, but he's like, that can't be it. He's like, bring me to the UN. And so he goes to the UN to meet Superman, who's like already there, and he's like welded the door shut of the UN so no one can get out, and he's about to like
break down like the framing of the UN building.
He's about to like crash the building on them. And so
collapse is a better word.
Sure. But Norman shows up luckily and
like talks him down.
Like the normal like plane of existence.
Yeah.
He like talks him down, say basically like he doesn't need to blame himself for all this because like no one really is to blame. It's just like the way that things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that his greatest power has always been like his instinctive knowledge of right and wrong. And the minute that he became like more super than man is when he went to solitude. And so he kind of like lost that instinctive skill of right and wrong. So he tells him to get a handle of him being a man and not a god. So he like basically tells Superman like, be a man about this. Like, don't be a super god about this. So anyway, so he kind of like talks Superman down that way, which I think is a cool concept where you're like at a certain point he's become more super than he has man, and he needs to like level that out and balance it again.
Yeah, super good concept for the whole story.
Yeah, really great.
Then like Supes is like, heroes can live among people, and calms everybody down.
You also find out that actually Batman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and a couple, like a dozen other people actually survived. Because Green Lantern protected them, by the way.
Wow. But not everybody, did he?
it's not his fault that there was a nuke above him. He was able to save some people, and I think that's good.
And then it ends in happy ending.
That's
there's like 16 pages of just fucking like
everything going back to normal.
Okay.
Everything good.
I want to do it. That's basically the end. That's what happened. It's like Superman's like,
now. Oh, they hang up like Shazam's cape.
He's like, yeah, they hang up Shazam's cape and they're like, well, actually in this scene, I kind of want to call a little bit of bullshit on this book. Okay. I love this book, but when he goes to talk to the UN after Norman talks him down, Superman's like, all right, yeah, I got to be a man. And he talks about not caring for the mistakes of yesterday. And he wants to start caring about coping or about the work of the future or whatever. Literally, less than an hour ago, a bunch of your friends just died from a nuke. And a bunch of like other heroes' friends. That was yesterday. No, it wasn't. It was like 15 minutes ago, probably, if that. And there's a bunch of heroes here, like Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, that don't talk about this at all.
They just got to wrap it up.
I know. That if there was like 300 pages, I'm sure that there would have been more
to talk about. What is there to talk about? They know why the nuke was coming, and they got what was coming. You know, the humans are trying to like, you know, protect themselves.
I guess.
And so that's the aftermath. And they knew it was coming down to something like that.
Uh-huh.
And that, I don't know.
I don't know if they knew that.
Having all these people here isn't working.
I don't know if they knew that, though. They were just fighting some people at a gulag, and then all of a sudden, everybody's vaporized around them.
So they got to like thin the herd a little bit.
Yep. So anyway, after that, some quick wrap-up stuff. Everything's all good now with the humans and whatever. Batman uses his like crashed Wayne Manor as like a new hospital for like villains and stuff.
And then Themyscira is like... fucking
Wonder Woman's accepted back.
It's like the prison for the shitty heroes.
Yeah, so they move all the shitty heroes there to train under Wonder Woman, and I guess they're more like acclimated to wanting to be trained after seeing what happened. But whatever. Norman
Alan
and the
Alan Scott has a place in the UN, and he's like little name tag, or no, it's like a
it's
New Oa.
Yeah, his like land or whatever is New Oa, which I think is pretty cool.
But like, it's like. Then the guy next to him was like, Portland. Oh, no, it's Poland. Never mind.
Portland. I was like, Portland. Yeah, we got the United States. What
meaning are you at? It's not that important.
We got the United States and Portland.
He's just here at like a governor's meeting in Oregon. Like, that's it. That's as high as he can go.
Yeah. And then...
which is cool, I guess.
So Superman's like making memorials.
He's making from a super grave.
From like the nuke site. And then, like, Wonder Woman comes and they, like, kiss again. So I guess they're, like, a thing now. Norman and Spectre are, like...
They're back.
They're back on, like, the normal plane. Even Spectre. I thought he would have... Well, first I thought he was going to be Wesley from, like, the very, very beginning.
That I would have hated that.
I probably would have hated that, too, because I think Spectre actually has, like, history.
Yeah, he's, like, a character. And then he's, like...
But he's also back as, like, a human as well.
Yeah,
he's... I guess.
Yeah, he's in... Norman's church or whatever.
But it's kind of cool because Spectre says that he's more like the superheroes and he really realizes, because as a pastor he exists to like sort of give people hope, and so he kind of does his part too when he like kind of, you know, going back in this plane. I think that was a cool parallel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
was a cool... I think that was a cool way of storytelling, is having them as like our eye in on the story, and then just like having like this almost like a narrator taking over the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an epilogue issue.
Yep. 1 year later,
They go to this restaurant where everyone's dressed up like a superhero. There's like...
this is referenced a bunch in like later DC books too.
So Wonder Woman and Superman meet up with Batman, but I guess they're trying to surprise him or something. And it's like, it's basically, I don't know.
They talk about like...
it's like a sports bar, but for like superheroes. Everyone's dressed up as superheroes and shit on the walls. And there's like a... there's superhero stuff.
And there's like a Robin waiter or whatever.
I would...
he's like,
hate,
I'm Robin.
And I would hate going to one of these places.
As like, a hero?
Oh my God, you do not make a good Superman.
You make Robin look fat. Like, what are you doing? But there's like, they talk about a bunch of like exposition stuff, like how's like training all the people going and whatever. But basically... Batman kind of pieces together that Wonder Woman's like pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
why they went there.
Yep, that's why they went there, is to ask Batman to be the godfather. And then they're friends again. Yay.
Right. But I like how he brings up, he's like, I haven't had a great track record with kids.
Yeah. I thought that was funny too.
Like all of them die.
But I also think that's a perfect way to end this, because like this whole book's kind of been like a generational book. And like this kind of marks like the start of like a new generation where super people and humankind can kind of live in harmony.
Yeah.
But with Superman to like sort of guide them on. So I think that's a really cool way to like wrap it up.
Yeah. He's like, dude, I don't want to be the godfather to this like demigod alien. And I'm like, oh shit, that'd be nuts.
But it's also kind of cool that they asked him because Batman's like immortal as well.
Yeah,
because
they want him to like
they want that balance with
him or her to learn like the morals of like a human.
Yeah, basically
when being so superpowered,
because they just like raise a super douche, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
if they didn't have like the mortal part of everything.
Oh, maybe. But anyway, yeah, that's Kingdom Come. That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like this a lot.
I think this is a very just it's like it's a great book.
I knew I'd love this shit. I love both those creators. And it's just one of those things where I just didn't, like, you know, hunker down and finish it.
Yeah. I want to kind of start doing a new thing with the podcast where we...
New segment?
Yeah, sure. I don't know what to call it yet.
A segment.
But basically, we review, like, the extra stuff that comes with the trade.
Like the back matter?
Yeah, basically.
What if we don't have the back matter?
Or what if we don't have the back matter?
Then we like suck. Then we'll cancel the segment.
All right, that sounds fine. What so, can you pronounce this word though?
Apocrypha. A P O C R Y P H A. I don't know what that means. I just read it and I was like, "That's cool, probably." But anyway, in the back matter of this book, this is where they like. Start naming all the like new heroes and the hero they like label them, so that's what like we're talking about in the beginning.
Sketches of like some of the characters, which is cool.
There's
like a list of all the models that are used.
There's a story of like how Mark Waid got this gig and like how the book came together.
Did you read that?
I read through some of it. I was kind of shotgunning the end of this before coming here, but I did read this, and basically Alex Ross came up with the idea of the book being like a generational book because he had just finished Marvels and wanted to do kind of the same thing with DC. Mm-hmm. And so he like came to DC and was like, I want to do this. Find me a writer. And I guess Mark Waid got this gig because he knows like so much about like DC. Like he probably like knows more, or he's probably like forgotten more about DC stuff than we'll ever like know about DC. Is okay. Basically what I got from this. But the editor called him up. And he was like, hey, I was wondering what the names of Lois Lane's parents were. And he like snapped back and he was like, Salmonella. And then he was like, and what's the date on the giant penny in the Batcave? And he was like, 1947. So like, it shows like how much of a giant, like Wikipedia of knowledge, like Mark Waid is, which is why he's picked for this gig, I guess.
Gotcha.
So I thought that was kind of a cool thing. But he has like a big blurb. There's like a frequent Q&A about Kingdom Come, which is kind of cool.
Oh, I don't think I had that in mind.
Yeah, he does like a thing where it's like the most frequently asked questions about Kingdom Come. And there's ones where it's like, why is there a monkey in Superman's barn? I didn't notice that in the book. but his answer is like, because Alex was trying to get me killed. That's not just any monkey. It's Beppo the Super Monkey. But I don't know. And there's one where it's like, who redesigned the older characters and who created the new ones? Who decided which ones were in each scene? And Mark Waid basically said that this is like very much an Alex Ross book. So all of the new characters and the new character designs is all really Alex Ross. And he like, all like, he says it's pretty simple, really. It takes me about 9 seconds to type up a scene description, like establishing shot, interior of a bar filled with young champions and faded old heroes. And then it takes Alex 3 days to put it together. So it's only fair to give Alex the fun of picking who's who and who's where. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's dope. That just adds to
like how insane he designed cool he is. All of the dozens of characters. How many people were in that memorial page?
Huh?
There's 37 different characters that Alex Ross specifically designed, either a new hero entirely or redesigned.
Are you looking at this?
Yeah.
No, all right, there's like three different spreads.
I have this. It's just like a giant list. And then on like the next pages, it then labels them.
Oh, no. So there's like 33 in this first one, 35 in the second one, and 37
oh, in shit, the you're third right.
one. So these are
there's like 90 characters.
They're not all new characters, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But a lot of them are.
But he designed all like the things, which is crazy. And then also there's like an Alex Ross piece, which I haven't read yet. But then There's also like the character designs, which is pretty common in the back of a book, but they're Mark Waid and Alex Ross are kind of like explaining what that character means to them. And there's a lot of confusing bits about these characters, but you get like a description of them. So I flipped to the one of Green Lantern, which looks dope, but that's where I found out that Alan Scott took his like lantern and formed it into armor.
Yeah, merging.
And so he's like
turned into himself.
He's constantly like recharging his ring, and I'm like, that's way more efficient than what everybody else is than like the normal Green Lantern thing. But yeah, there's like a bunch of different character descriptions and stuff, which I think are really cool.
And a living battery of the lantern's power.
Yeah.
So that's what Jade is. That's what she said. That's what her description says.
Yeah, Jade is the daughter of Alan Scott. That for some reason has green skin. It's not very clear, but she doesn't need a lantern. She's like the lantern, basically. And I think it's from Alan Scott doing some weird shit with himself that changed like his DNA, something like that. It's very comic booky. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of design work on Batman and explaining all of that, which is cool. They talk about Black Canary and Green Lantern or Green Arrow. And so, yeah, there's a bunch of really cool stuff. I'm trying to see if there's anything more because I have like 100 pages of like back matter.
In Do you really? That's dope.
Yeah.
And like four.
Yeah. So it like outlines like literally all the heroes and like what their deal is. And then there is some Mark Waid writing so that you really know like how little writing he really does.
Like the script?
Yeah. Like this. What I'm about to show you, this is like 24 pages of what he wrote. Just fit on this one page. A lot of them are just like one line or like four lines or whatever. Mm-hmm. So most of that's Alex Ross, which is cool.
That's cool. I think that's probably how Alex Ross works, is just like probably as little description as possible, but just enough to keep the movie or keep the story going.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine that he does great like working in these confines of whatever a description is.
Yeah.
And if you can leave, you know,
if you can leave it open to
something
him.
Up to interpretation, it'll probably turn out better.
Yeah. And then there's like a gallery at the end of like specific like snips or like other like concept designs of like the different characters, which all look like they'd be really cool like background images.
The Flash one is like always blurry and it's so sick.
I read up on that too. Apparently they like he's like on all levels of existence or whatever. That's how I found out that he was Wally, but he kind of vibrates between them, and so you see like two or three different versions of him at all time, and that's to like reference like the Flashes before him, I guess. I guess is like a thing that they did.
Okay.
Which I thought was cool. But yeah, that is Kingdom Come.
Nice.
So now we're going to jump into our next segment. The poll list.
Oh yeah.
Did you read anything?
Okay, actually, poll list. I went to the comic shop yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Have a little story. So generally how it has been is that he would keep the door open and then you just stand in like the doorway and just kind of like yell at him what you want. Like, Batman!
He's like, okay.
He's like, okay. And then like I'd be like, what came out today? He's like, I can tell you. And he like would just yell out everything that came out today. And yeah, anyway. But today or yesterday... he said he's gonna be up until 6. I'm like, sick, I can make it there after work. And I go to the door and the door's locked, and I see him in there and he waves at me. I'm like, open the fucking door. No, he's like, what's your box number? And then I tell him my box number, and then he like shakes his head no because there's nothing in there. And I'm like, can I come in? Or in, I don't know. He's like, I'm not letting anyone in. I'm like, okay.
He's like,
and I'm like, I picked up, I haven't been keeping up with, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. And so,
oh, okay, cool.
I only got like the first issue. And so I'm like, I need 2 through 10. Cause I'm like yelling through this, just through the cracks of the door.
Yeah.
And then he goes and gets them and he had all of them. I'm like, fuck yeah. I love the shop. And, I had to like slide my card through the
no
space
way.
In between the door hinge and like the door.
Oh my gosh.
And then he came back for the books. He's like, I need to take a step back. I'm like, all right. And then he puts it on like the little brick window ledge. and then closes the door.
Shut up.
I'm like,
he opens the door
just to
put it on this brick wall, the one that's right. Okay, that's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but it's like,
this was when
yesterday.
Okay, that's so funny, because I called because I thought Samurai Comics, the one that I go to, I called them and I was like, do I need to like make an appointment? And he was like, oh no, that ended like 2 weeks ago, you could just come in.
Yeah, so yours is open.
I went in with like a mask and everything.
Because of how hurting like shops are right now, I want to go in and just buy a fucking statue or something. Just,
yeah.
So I'm like, everything that I've looked at like for 5 years.
This is the time to go buy it.
Yeah. And so I bought like a One Punch Man like a couple weeks ago just because it's fucking cool. And so I would like to look more, just to be like, I'll buy this. Because honestly, the toys probably aren't that expensive.
Yeah.
And so
that'd be cool.
But yeah, so if I had time to browse,
I bought a trade this week.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Potentially our next episode.
Okay, for sure.
I was gonna buy it on Amazon, but I was like, I should see if they have it. And I looked in their trades and I couldn't see it. There was a bunch of other like books for that character. And I was like, hey, do you have this? And he's like, oh yeah, it's on this like special one that we have that we really want to highlight the trades. And so I was like, I'm glad I checked, because I also went to the shop. I only picked up Green Lantern number 3.
Okay.
And then I picked up, that was like the only thing I was going to get. And so I picked up this book called The Plunge, which is by Joe Hill, who's like normally like a horror novelist, but he's partnering with like Stuart Immonen on art.
I think he did some Batman stuff.
He's done like stuff. He's been doing stuff with DC.
Uh-huh.
And then I bought a third book that I can't remember.
Don't you hate that, where like you get like two books and you like almost feel bad that you're not buying more?
I did, because I figured I would have had more because I hadn't been in the shop in forever, but not everything's like in the process of being back yet.
Yeah, so. I know, because stuff wasn't printing either.
Yeah. So.
I also read, what the fuck's it called? White Trees.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Like the interview like makes me want to read like everything that
he's done.
Chip Zdarsky's
Fantasy read. Daddies or whatever he said.
Hunky Fantasy Dads.
It was a cool book.
Yeah, it was really cool. He's so good at putting so much story, but not like making it too dense.
Yeah.
In like a little amount of space. Like that Spider-Man one shot is incredible. And this was two issues. And was really good for like all it was.
You know a lot about like that main character.
Yeah.
And like all of the like supplementary ones that are like kind of side characters. You know like a lot about them.
Yeah.
And there's sweet action. And doesn't he make the best shirtless men, Chris Anka?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so many abs.
Yeah, dude.
So that's cool. I'm glad you read that.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
Did
you watch any shows?
I
finished Solar Opposites.
You finished it? Okay, yeah, I started it because you never tell me to watch anything.
Yeah.
But you're like, you should watch Solar Opposites. And I'm like, okay. And I watched the first one. It was actually really good. And,
yeah. I thought the first episode was like a little tough just because they were moving so quick. And like you didn't really like have time to laugh, I found out. But they fixed that the second episode. I'm sure just like the pilot episode is like the hardest one to make.
Sure.
So they fit a bunch of stuff in there. But every other episode is like perfect for me.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I'm caught up on Rick and Morty, and I just kind of always want like more of that. And so this is kind of like supplemental for
me. I don't see the new season of Rick and Morty on Hulu. You have season 4 on your Hulu?
Yeah, like the new episode comes out like the day after. It like comes out on like Sunday night. It'll be there Monday.
I don't see any of season 4. Do you have the one with ads? Is that the issue that I'm running into?
Are you on Nana's account?
I'm not.
Go to, maybe you need to sign into hers.
Tell me the login information live.
On the pod. No, she called me a couple weeks ago and she's like, hey, I changed the password on Hulu. I'm like, again? Why? And she's like, they called me and apparently it was signed on to 42 accounts.
Oh my God. Did it get
42 devices.
Shut up.
And I'm like, that sounds right. Because it's like us, like all our cousins and then like them.
All of our different devices and stuff too.
Yeah, because I have it on like my phone and like shit, like for no reason. Just if I don't want to get up to go to my living room to watch TV.
Like, I'll just watch it on my phone or like, my Surface or
I'll
whatever.
Just hold it. So, anyway, what are we reading next week? We got Marvel?
We do have Marvel. And it's either going to be Spider-Man life story.
Shouldn't this be a community decision?
Well, okay, so
there's two people in this relationship.
Yes. Okay, so we asked Chip Zdarsky to refer some books to us.
Right.
And he gave us a DC, a Marvel, and an Image one. The next one is that we are doing is Marvel, and he suggested Next Wave.
But you want to do like maybe some more of his stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which we might do. That's the trade that I bought, is Spider-Man Life Story.
Okay.
And there might be a reason for doing that, but if not, we might just do Next Wave if it doesn't work out.
I'm very confused on what I have to read now. I guess both?
We'll figure it out.
Maybe just like plan a Next Wave.
Yeah, let's just do Next Wave, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Cool, that's Next Wave.
Have we gotten any emails?
Oh, yes, we did actually get an email from a local person.
A fan?
Wow. A fan, yeah. One of our biggest fans.
It's so big.
Yeah. One of our many fans. His name is Matthew, and he texts me after every episode. So we're very tight. I work with him is the general thing. But
I like that he didn't just like text you. He just like he actually
emailed. He like actually emailed, and I think he wants to see if I actually check. But he suggested that we read, it's called Money Shot by Tim Seeley.
Oh God. Do you know what a money shot is?
Yes.
Okay.
It's exactly, that's what the book is like. The book is like that.
All right. This is going to really.
It's going to be a very sexual episode.
It's going to very, really influence how I think of Matthew. But anyway.
So yeah, we will get to that.
Should we do that next week then?
It'll either be that or Bitch Planet, which is what Chip suggested.
Okay. No, I mean, I guess like
for the independent week,
since we got that email.
Yeah, technically we got that email first, so I think we should probably do that first.
Okay, so Money Shot.
Money Shot is the independent one that we're going to do. So thank you, Matthew, for being our first suggestion.
So are we still going in order?
Huh?
Are we still going in our order?
We're still going to do a Marvel one next week, but we did get an email, which is what you asked me.
So we're switching them.
No, we're doing Marvel next week. And then... But you asked me if we've gotten any emails. So we're reading
it now for the episode that is next week.
No, we're reading a Marvel book this week to do the episode next week.
That's what I said.
That's what I said.
Perfect.
Great.
Good.
And then you asked me if we had any emails, and I told you we got one from Matthew suggesting Money Shot. So when we get to the independent week, then we'll do that.
Okay. All right. That sounds fair.
And that's it. Outro us.
Thanks for listening. You can email us on tradewarriorspod@gmail.com.
Just like Matthew.
Just like shout Matthew out. Did.
He also left us a review on iTunes, but I haven't looked at it yet.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. That's important. 5-star reviews on whatever platform. Very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to help out.
Tell your friends. Thank you, Nathan Moss. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Nathan Moss for our theme song.
Yep. Our punk podcast.
Our punk podcast theme song.
And follow me on Twitter @morelikenathick, NathICC.
Dan Natividad on Instagram. Wait, no.
And
oh, it's the real Daniel Natividad on Instagram.
As if there was Natividad a fake one impersonating you.
There's so
we
many.
Are super famous now for this podcast.
Like, there's 29. Yeah, so many impersonators. There's still
29 impersonators.
Dude, yeah.
Of you because of this there's, podcast?
If I cannot get the original handle on anything.
I'm sure Joe Rogan has the same issues.
Right.
Because we're on that level now.
If anything, it's worse for us.
Yeah.
Do you need to say anything else?
I think that's it. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We will see talk at you next week. Bye.